Come on, if you would turn with me, please, two places. We're going to Exodus and 1 Samuel. Exodus chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to speak about moms today because it is fitting because it is Mom's Day. It is your day. I personally think every day should be Mom's Day. That's just what I think. But I got outvoted. So today is Mom's Day. So we are going to honor you and we're going to take a look at a few moms in Scripture. Because this is what I see when you read Scripture. God gives us a pretty good picture of moms. And I see this, man. I understand that moms probably go through the greatest joys and the greatest sorrows as moms. I really believe that. I believe there's a connection from you to your sons or your daughters that obviously a man, that amazing gift wasn't inside a man for 9 months. That amazing gift didn't connect through nursing to a man. I mean, it's just, there's an amazing thing that God has created in a woman to carry the amazing gift of children and to be able to connect through nursing. And it's just God's incredible design plan. And in that, there's this amazing connection, I believe, that takes place between a mother and her gift and her child. I mean, when you understand that there are, and you as a mom, I see it in Scripture, but you know it, man. You've lived the highs and the lows. You've lived what it is to walk in the shoes as a mom that have the greatest joys. When you know you're trying to get pregnant and you know, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know that you're pregnant. And there's this sense of overwhelming rejoicing that takes place within your heart and within your spirit to know, wow, God has blessed us. And then in the midst of that, there can be some of the most sorrows as you see your children go through things, or even you personally have gone through things, even pre-pregnancy. And there's just a great, great sense of highs and lows as a mom. And I'm just going to get into this. We're going to talk about a few moms today. We're going to talk about Moses' mom. We're going to talk about Samuel's mom. We're going to talk about Jesus' mom. And we're going to look at the highs and lows that these three women went through and what they did. And I'm telling you this is what you're going to see. You're going to see faith in a mom. I mean, are you going to see what it is to walk in a mother's shoes and the faith at times that it takes to do what you need to do as a mom? And the power that you have. Now hear this, please. When you faith is enacted as a mom, there is results in your children. You've got to see your position as a mom. We're going to see it here. When faith is enacted as a mom, when you're walking as a mom who has such great faith, man, you can change the direction of your children. We're going to see that today. We're going to see that today. Let's ask God to bless it. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, I thank you for a great picture in your word of these amazing moms, these three amazing moms that you've given a great picture for us to see here today, right now. And God, I ask that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. God, you would come and that you would just speak into our lives today. Husbands, God, that we would understand what it is to honor our wives as the great moms that they are. And God, as teenagers and young people in here, they would understand what it is to honor their moms and love on their moms and encourage their moms. Father, we thank you for today. I ask that you would speak to us through your word and by your spirit in this place today. God, that we would come out of this place different. We come out of this place encouraged and built up, God. That we would walk out of this place really, really encouraged this morning as moms and as husbands of these amazing women who are moms, as children who look to their moms a little differently because of today. So, Father, I just ask that you would really speak into our hearts today. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. Moms specifically, God, speak to me today. And folks, just with your eyes closed, I know even special days like this are great days for some, but difficult days for others. And I get that. I understand for mom, it's your day, man. It's a beautiful day. And it's just an uptick for you and you're encouraged and you're like, this is a great day. I've got a great husband. I've got great kids. And they just, but for others, maybe it's just a little more difficult. Maybe you've lost your mom, or maybe you're not even somehow not even able to have children, and it can be a very difficult day for you. And I love you, and just ask God to bless you today. God, that you would bless these women today. And Father, you would fulfill the desires of their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, sorry about that. That was a shock. But anyways, come on. I love the people of this church. Those who are hurt, and those who broke, and those who are happy and full of joy. Come on, let's look at this. Exodus chapter 2. You're going to see where Moses' mother, and her name is just like the coolest name ever, Jochebed. That's Moses. If you didn't know Moses' mom's name, Jochebed. Like, that's a cool name. Like, Moses is like a big figure in, like, he's like it. Like, he's like, wow, like Moses. Like, honestly, if you would ask 100 people what Moses' mom's name was, you might get about 90 wrong answers. Maybe. But her name is Jochebed, which is just really kind of a cool name. So here we're going to look at Jochebed here first. So we're going to see a woman who had such incredible faith that she's actually mentioned in the Hebrews 11. She's actually mentioned in the Heroes of Faith chapter in the New Testament in Hebrews 11 for what her actions caused. And it was by faith. I want you to see this. It was by faith that she did this. You understand, leading up to where we're going in Exodus 2, we're leading up to a point where a new king takes over in Egypt. The Hebrews, the Israelites, they were a part of slavery. Now they're taken into slavery for the king, for Egypt, for Pharaoh. A new king takes over, and he begins to see where these Hebrews just begin to grow in number and grow in strength. And he's looking at them being, okay, our slaves are outnumbering us, and sooner than later, they're going to physically be able to overpower us. So this king, this new king, Pharaoh, he begins to make a decree like, okay, well, we're going to do something about this. All of our midwives, the Egyptian midwives who are helping these Hebrew women give birth, he said, listen, when you have a female, a girl that's born, let her live. When you have a male that's born, put him in the Nile, drown him, kill him, put him in the river. I want all Hebrew boys murdered. This was a serious, serious law, because he's looking at this number begin to grow where these Hebrews are beginning to outnumber the Egyptian. He's like, sooner or later, it's just mathematical equation that they are going to overpower us because they're not real thrilled about being slaves. So he says, this is the deal. What I want you to do, I want you to kill every male Hebrew that's born. How I want you to kill him, I want you to throw him in the Nile, throw him in the river, drown him. Imagine that, taking this lively child and just hucking him into the river. That was the instructions that every male child shall be killed. I mean, you could put yourself in a mom's shoes. And the fight within, knowing that if I have a male child, we got to understand this. It's not like you had a chance. It's not like you could hide your pregnancy. As soon as you started showing, all eyes were on you as a mom going, is it a male or is it a female? And the midwives were instructed, as soon as that baby is born, if you see that it's a male, mother gets no time with the child. This was complete and total murder, ripping the child, throwing it in the river. Put yourself in a mom's shoes. Knowing that's what you're going to go, that's what it's going to be. Female, you'll have a child. Male, he's going to be taken immediately from your womb and thrown into the river. That's the position, man. This is where they were. So here we pick it up here. In verse, let's go to verse 22, Exodus 1, going right into chapter 2. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. So we see that. Verse 2, chapter 2. The woman, that's Jochebed, conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. You know how hard it is to hide a crying baby? There's only so long that you can hide a child. For whatever reason, and the good news was that the midwife, if you read chapter 1, the reason why the midwives didn't throw this child into the Nile, because there was a few of them that feared God, had a reverence for God, and refused the law of the Pharaoh. This is why this young son actually made it. So we look at this. Verse 3 says this, and when she could hide him no longer, she got a wicker basket, covered it with tar and pitch, and then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. My man, when I see this, I look at this as, it's the first case of adoption that I can see in Scripture, where she knew, I can't possibly mother this child? I mean, think about this. There's no way I can possibly mother this child. He's made it 3 months, and if he gets found out, he's dead, and probably because I broke the law, the rest of the family possibly could die. There's no way I can mother this child any longer. And I believe that this is first case where she puts him up for adoption. And mom's heart, who loves his child, has to give him up for another. And she had to do it in such a crazy, crazy way. She puts this crying 3-month-old into a basket and puts him in some reeds. Some grass is growing out of the river. So to try to just put him right by the riverbed, just, you know, hoping that he doesn't float down there, hoping that he doesn't tip over. I mean, there's a lot of what ifs in this. You're putting him in a river, hoping that he stays, hoping that somebody comes along to see this child and hear this child cry and pick him up for their own. There's a lot of what ifs. Well, what's a what if for us who believe and trust in God? What's a what if we really come to a place and say, God, you are my God and I'm going to trust you? It's faith. It's a huge what if, but it's faith. I mean, we have this amazing gift in this child named Eli Garcia. I don't know, Katie and Manuel, they have this amazing little boy, head the size of Texas, awesome, incredible child, but he has a gift, and I've never seen this gift. He has a gift to rock himself all by himself. I mean, there's a morning, Sunday morning, I'm looking, and I'm seeing his baby carrier. His thing is, his car seat is rocking back and forth, and there's nobody around it. I'm like, I asked him, I'm like, does that thing like have a, like legit, is this a new thing where they put a battery on this thing and it rocks? They're like, no, he rocks himself to sleep. I'm like, you guys are the luckiest parents on the planet that your child rocks himself to sleep. Like legit, he starts kicking his, I start watching him. He starts kicking his foot and he's rocking this thing and he falls asleep. I'm like, awesome, that's incredible. But here, could you imagine, you've got this 3-month-old lying in a basket. What if he had Eli's gift? He'd rock himself right over. I mean, like, whoops, oh, sorry. Like, this is a huge, put yourself in her shoes, man. This is a huge what if. Put yourself in her shoes of the pain of what she has to do. Not really having any idea the plan that God had for her son to be the one to lead his people out of slavery, to be the one called by God to lead a nation. She had no idea his future. She has no idea that Moses, man, this is the one. This is the one that God will call to lead his people to freedom. This is the one that God will call to lead his people to a riverbed where Moses, by the power of God, will have to split the sea. And once and for all, man, they are free. And then they go back in because of sin, different issues. But here as a mom, imagine the pain of a mom. By faith, Hebrews 11 says this. I want you to see this. Because here's a mom who had such faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was beautiful and the child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Listen, they had such great faith that look, they're mentioned in Hebrews 11. This is the superheroes of faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. How? By his parents. Who had the faith? Moses, when he was, no, the parents. Mom had the faith to hide this child. And she had the faith to put him in a basket and do the only thing that she could do is to let him go, is to release him and just hope that someone else would come and raise him and that they wouldn't see that he's a Hebrew boy and just tip him over. I mean, that's a what if. Tip him over right in the now where he really actually belonged. It was by her faith, mother's faith, not having any idea the plan that God had for this amazing gift in a basket, by the riverbed. The Bible says that he was crying. We pick it up in, again, chapter 4. His sister's name was Miriam. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Now look at how God works. So amazing. So amazing. The daughter of Pharaoh came. The daughter of the one who put the law out there that all Hebrew boys should be thrown in the river. This is his daughter. Pharaoh's daughter comes by to bathe in the Nile with her maidens, walking alongside the Nile. She saw the basket among the reeds and said to her maid, and she brought it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. It's amazing God's favor. She instantly could have said, oh, wow. My dad says that he should be tipped into the river. My dad's law says that he should have been murdered 3 months ago. She knew that he was a Hebrew, knew that it was male, knew that dad's law said we should kill him. But look what she does. Talk about God's plan. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go? Here, the sister's just watching this, man. Could you imagine being the older sister? And she's just paying attention. She's watching what's going to happen to my baby brother. And she sees that Pharaoh's daughter comes and she sees that they're checking out the baby. She immediately comes right out. And I love her plan here. Look at this. She says this, verse 7, the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that they may nurse this child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mom. Isn't that amazing that mom gets a season with her child to be able to nurse and connect with her son? Amazing. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you a wage. She even gets paid to do this. So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Pharaoh's daughter is the one who names him Moses, because I drew him out of the water. When you look at this, and you see a mom here with such incredible faith. The Bible says that she was not afraid. She was not afraid of the king's law. How many moms come to a place to build such faith that you're not afraid? You're not afraid. Listen, please hear this. Moms, today's the day to build faith. Today's the day that you would see a picture of a mom who had to give up her son because she walked by faith, that she's mentioned in Hebrews 11. She's the one who says, by faith, listen, for 3 months, I hid him as long as I could. And by faith, I put him in this wicker basket and I put him on the edge of the sea that somebody may come and just raise him as his own. And then as God would see fit, in the absolute amazement of God, which would call her back to actually nurse this child, her own son, and then again have to give her up to Pharaoh's daughter. And the whole time, man, the whole while, God has a plan for her son. God has a plan for her son. You talk about the great joys. You talk about the great sorrows. Let's look at 1 Samuel, please. Let's look at Hannah. Hannah is Samuel's mother. And we see a picture here of Hannah and Samuel. And again, we see a picture where God's favor is on a woman, on a mom who has gone through such sorrow and pain, wanting to be a mother. You see, you've got this woman named Hannah, you've got another woman named Peninnah, and then you've got a gentleman named Elkanah. When you have Elkanah, he is a husband of two wives. Never a good idea. Biblically, I'm telling you, never a good idea. Anywhere you see this in the Bible, it always, always goes sideways. It always goes backwards, and it leads to absolute pain for everyone. And you look at this, and you've got these two wives. One of them, Peninnah, has children. She's given Elkanah children. Hannah cannot conceive. So here, you talk, there's just some things about jealousy, about envy, where Peninnah comes to a place, and you see an incredible picture of where her hatred for Hannah, where when she has these amazing gifts, every time that they would go to the temple to dedicate and do what they need to do for their children, she would always come to a place to cause Hannah to weep And there was this jealousy and this anger and this envy because Elkanah actually preferred Hannah over Peninnah. But Peninnah is the one who gave him children. So Peninnah would take it out on Hannah and say, the Lord has closed your womb. You can't even conceive. And the Bible says that she would harass her and irritate her with a bitterness that it would cause Hannah to go and weep year after year after year. Could you imagine putting up with that? Year after year after year, where your heart is desiring a child. Your heart as a mom is desiring that your womb be fruitful. Your heart as a mom is crying out to God to give birth to through you. And year after year, even at church, at the temple, she would just be bitterly harassed. So much so that she would find herself in a place of crashing. Emotionally. And we pick this up right here. Verse 10. 1 Samuel 1. And here, this is Hannah. Look at this. This is greatly distressed. This is after she's been attacked by Peninnah. This is after she's just been just completely bullied and so much to a point of so irritated that she's just wrecked. She's crashing. Verse 10 says this. She greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord. Now look at verse 9 says this. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking. Now Eli the priest, they're at the temple, was sitting on the seat at the doorstep of the temple of the Lord. She greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord. She wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me. I mean, look at the pain. Look at the hurt that she's going through. And not forget your maidservant. And I will give you, but will give your maidservant a son, and I will give him to the Lord at the days of his life. And a razor will not come to his head. She's claiming him to be a Nazarite. She's claiming him to say, listen, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him from birth and he will belong to you. He will serve you all the days of his life. Verse 12. Now it came about that she continued to pray before the Lord. And here the priest was watching this. Now I want you to see this. Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were not moving, but her voice was not heard. You talk about one God Almighty who hears the whispers of a mom's heart. Here she's praying, her lips are moving, but she's not voicing. The Bible says that the priest thought that she was drunk. Hey, he even says it. Hey, lay off the wine. What do you do? Lay off the wine. Like, you're not supposed to be drunk. I mean, this is how desperate she was. And I love this because here she's in absolute pain and sorrow, and God hears her heart. He hears the whispers. Verse 15, Hannah replies, no, my Lord, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And we know that God hears her cry. The Bible says she goes home, has relations with her husband, and she conceives a son. And she names him Samuel. And she brings him to the temple. I love this because she knew her promise. She knew that God heard my cry. The Lord heard my cry. He heard me on those doorsteps of the temple. I didn't even raise my voice. I didn't even speak a word from my vocals. I lipped it in my heart. And the God of all creation heard my whispers. And he gave me a son, and she fulfills her promise. Verse 26, it said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, she's now back at the temple, back at the priest, Eli, who thought she was drunk. And she says this, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. You talk about a woman acting in faith, crying out to the Lord, knowing, God, that you would hear my cry. God answers her prayer and says, this is the one. I was the one. Remember, I was just right here. Remember, you thought I was drunk, but I had nothing to drink, and I was crying out to the Lord, and I was so depressed, and I was so hurt, and I was so broke. She comes to a place to say, listen. Verse 28, so I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord here. And I love this, chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, look at the mom's joy of one who came to a point to be so distressed and so emotionally broken. And then she cried out to God and he hears her voice. He hears her whispers. Grants her by her petition, by her faith. a son, and she comes and brings him to the temple and said, he's yours to serve in this temple. Like she wasn't taking him back home. Like she was literally saying, I want him serving in the temple. I'm giving him, I am surrendering him to the church. I'm surrendering him to God that he would serve God all the days of his life because God heard my prayer. And this is where she's at. Look at the rejoicing. And Hannah prayed and said, her heart exalts. That means makes great in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. You look at where she's at in such a great sense of rejoicing. And then every mom has to embarrass their child. That's just what you do. And I want you to read something with me. This is funny. 1 Samuel 2, verse 19. This is what moms do. For some reason, it's biblical. Awesome. 1 Samuel 2, 19. And then his mother, this is as he's growing and he's getting stronger. He's still in the temple. And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him year after year when she would come up with the husband to offer yearly sacrifices. Like you would say, Mom, enough robes. You don't have to keep making me clothes every time. It's embarrassing. Mom, you're embarrassing me. Have you ever, as moms, your kids ever go, Mom? Like I could see Samuel going, Mom. I really don't even like the robes. You got to stop making me these robes. Anyways, come on. We see a picture here of moms. Two moms, two children. Two moms who've gone through incredible lows. Two moms who've gone through incredible highs and incredible joy. Both their sons, God used literally to change generation after generation after generation, still used by his word to change us here and now today. Because one mom prayed. Because a mom who was so distressed cried out to the Lord. The Bible says that he heard her petition on the steps of a temple. After being so harassed and put down and belittled, year after year after year, you talk about one whose hope continues to be crushed. Gang, this is a year after year. We don't know how long this took place, but it was year after year. She would be crushed, she would be crushed, she would be crushed, she would be crushed. And as she sits on the steps, man, she begins to cry out to the Lord. And he grants her a son named Samuel. Who go on that God has called to be a prophet. And then you have this teenage girl named Mary. Just ready to start her life, man. She's just ready to go into something and start her life with Joseph, a carpenter's wife, and just he can make her all kind of trinkets and it'll just be perfect, man. What a life. Small, little town, little place, just knowing everybody, family's close, all is good, here's my life, and all of a sudden her whole world gets flipped by Gabriel showing up. Hey, teenager, you're the favored one. You're going to give birth. Oh, by the way, you're never going to know a man before this, but you're going to get pregnant by not knowing a man. God, by the Holy Spirit, is going to come and he's going to impregnate you and you're going to give birth to the Son, the Savior of the world. I mean, you talk about bragging rights, right? I mean, moms brag. I mean, it's just funny how moms just think, it's good. You brag about your kids, you build them up. But I think Mary kind of has bragging rights. Oh, my son walked on water. Good luck. I can imagine Jesus playing soccer, right? I'm just thinking, this is just funny that Jesus is playing. Jesus, dude, just do what you do. Just score from, just score every time you blow on the ball, do something. Jesus, just do what you do. I could see mom being so competitive, running up and down the sideline going, come on, Jesus, just blow on it or something. It'll be like 100-0 on Jesus' team, man. It's just incredible. Who's his mom is crazy. That kid's mom, hey, who's his mom is nuts. Look at it, it's just crazy. Anyways. So you got Mary, she comes to the picture. And you talk about the joy of this teenage girl. You've got shepherds coming to the birthplace and telling them, listen, angels showed up to us as well, and they say that he is going to save his people from their sins. The Bible says she's listening to all of this. Teenager, soaking it all in now, caring and going over this amazing gift that she has. Knowing, she knows the plan. She knows that there's a purpose. She knows that he's the Messiah. She knows that he's the Son of God. She's been told this over and over and over. And as the boy is 40 days old, she takes him to the temple to dedicate him back to God. There's a priest there named Simeon, and he comes, and he's been waiting for this child to show. You talk about Mary, who has sung songs about her birth. She sang songs about her pregnancy. She's absolutely full of joy, and she's exalting the Lord. And the Bible says she's rejoicing in her spirit. She comes to a place to dedicate this child, and all of a sudden, Simeon says this to her. It will be as if your very own soul is pierced. Mary, it's going to be tough. He has said for the rise and the fall of Israel. Mary, there's something about him that you need to know. This is going to hurt. You're going to see things that you've never, you're going to see things that are going to blow your mind. As mom, you're going to see your son with such grace and such compassion. You're going to see your son just crowded. You're going to see your son, well, people can't get enough of your son. You're going to be amazed at what your son can do. He is God, Mary. You're going to be shocked at what he can do. He's not going to ever cease to not amaze you. It's going to be amazing. Over and over, you're going to see his compassion. You're going to see his love. You're going to see his care. You're going to see people just surround him. You're going to see him do amazing things for moms who are going through different situations. You're going to see him heal the sick. You're going to see him heal the lame. You're going to see him bring life. Mary, it's going to be amazing what you're going to see. But there'll be a moment, Mary, that it's going to hurt. Because they're going to turn on your boy. They're going to turn on your son. Mary, it's going to hurt when you see him start punching him in the face. It's going to hurt when you're hearing the crowd yell out, "Crucify him, it's your son. Kill Jesus. Crucify him." And Mary, it's going to hurt when you see him take flesh from your son. You've seen everything. You've seen his love. You've seen his compassion. You've seen his care. All he's done was love people. That's all you've seen. But Mary, it's going to be as if very own soul is pierced. Mary, it's going to hurt. The Bible gives us an amazing picture in John 19. You've got Jesus now on the cross. Isaiah 52:14 says that you couldn't recognize him as a human being. Could you imagine that as a mom? At the foot of the cross, looking at your son who is so shredded. He looks down and he honors his mom. John, take care of her now. John, she's your responsibility. And looks at Mary and says, "Behold your son. Take him as your own, mom." The Bible says that he breathes his last. And then you see these soldiers come and they're breaking the feet of the other two, breaking the legs so that they would die quicker, and they come to Jesus. It would be as if your very own soul is pierced, Mary. They come to Jesus and say, "Nope, he's already dead." So what do? Mary's standing there. They take a spear and they put it right in to his side. What would that do? He's already dead. You can imagine a mom standing at the cross, going back to that place when he's 40 days old. It will be as if your very own soul is pierced. The joys and the sorrows of a mom. Ephesians says this. I want you to see this. Ephesians 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Children, obey your parents. Why? For this is right. I believe that moms go through some of the highest of highs with their kids. And I see moms can go through the lowest of lows with their kids because there's such a connection there. Two of these women acted in such great faith, having no idea the plan that God had for their sons. But one was the whole surprise. Knowing how special her son is and what he was going to accomplish one day. 33 years he accomplished hanging on a cross. And 3 days later, being raised from the dead to put an end to death. That was her son. That was Jesus. Just bow your head just for a minute, please. Moms, as Believers Chapel, we want to honor you this morning. You go through so much as a mom. May you see your sons and your daughters. You know their pains. You feel it. You're there. And I want your faith to be enlarged today. As a mom, you have the ability to cry out to your children, cry out for your children, to the one true living God of all creation, all power and all might, that will hear your whispers. I love that. God will hear your cry. You don't even have to be vocal. God can read lips because he knows your heart. Man, that you would realize the power and the authority that you have in your family for your sons and for your daughters. Oh, Father, thank you. May all heads bow, please. But if you are a mom in this place, I'm asking that you just stand to your feet. If you're a mom, I need you to just stand to your feet. Young moms, brand new moms, retired moms, kids out of the house, up, gone, doing their things, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, moms. I want to bless you. If you would just put your hands to heaven, please. Just raise your hands up to heaven. I just want to bless you. Father, I thank you for moms. I do. God, I just pray that they are honored here in this sanctuary this morning, in this place, right here, right now. God, you know every tear that they've ever shed. God, you know the laughter and the joy that they just rejoice in their hearts. God, you know every instant. You know every ounce of joy that they've had with their kids and their children and their sons and their daughters. God, I ask that you would bless them. I ask that you would keep them, God. I ask that your face would shine upon these moms, that your grace will be towards them, God. Father, that you would give them peace. I pray peace in these mothers' hearts, God. God, I pray for the sons and daughters who are missing, sons and daughters who have wandered. God, I ask that you would just bring a rest and a peace, God, that you would hear these moms cry. You'd hear their cry out to you. And God, that they would come to a place to know God has heard me. God has heard me. Father, I ask that you would bless them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.